Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Christchurch Online. And whether you're a regular member of the church family, or indeed this is your very first time of joining us, it is good to see you. Rest assured, actually, I can't see you at all, but you can see me. And thank you very much for being here this morning. It is fair to say this is a first for all of us, not just at Christchurch, but many churches up and down the land around the world. This is a first. If there was a lecture at Bible College about preaching and pastoring a church in a pandemic, I probably bunked it. This is a first. And it's really great for you to join us in this way. This is what we're going to do. We anticipate, certainly for a few weeks, if not months, meeting together in this way. Doubtless the format will change a bit as perhaps we find our feet. And then no doubt we'll just about be in the swing of things and we'll be able to open the doors again. And what a great day it'll be to regroup and gather again in the church building together. A little bit about what we plan to do, certainly this morning and most weeks. This is just a time really to not neglect meeting one another, as the Bible tells Christians to do, to try and recreate that in some way. So each Sunday morning at 10:30, you tune in with your Bible and your notebook, and I'll give a little bit of church family news. There'll be a chance to read a Bible passage for me to preach. There'll be a short time of prayer together, which I'll lead. And then you'll just see in the bottom of the description on the channel there, each Sunday we'll just recommend a couple of songs. We thought about me singing, but thought actually we'll recommend a couple of songs to respond to the talk with, which you can see the links to watch the YouTube and listen along at home. Some church family news then. Well, it goes without saying that all of our services and ministries are suspended until further notice. We want to listen and obey to the government and wider church advice on that, and to be good neighbours and to very much do as we're told on those things, to look after everybody. But that does mean, obviously, Mothering Sunday today. Happy Mothering Sunday if you're watching, Mum. But of course, all of our plans postponed really till next year. For Easter, it'll look very different. There'll be no open air service, none of our usual Maundy Thursday Lord's Suppers, anything like that, all suspended unless things change drastically, but anticipate that won't happen. Similarly, church meetings, annual councils, those sorts of things, all suspended, but I'll be in touch. And the very best way of keeping in touch with the church family is through the website for the time being, and I'll try and get the weekly news out as well. But do stay tuned on the website and the various WhatsApp groups. Speaking of those, it's worth saying that the midweek groups started last week on meeting online, seemed to go well using all these apps, which we've never heard of before, and all of a sudden we're all using. So if you're not part of one of those and would like to be, again, get in touch with the website, and we'd love to hear from you. And it's been really encouraging this past week, hasn't it, seeing not just the church family, but the whole community, whole nation. Not everybody's stockpiling. There's lots and lots of acts of kindness to try and help the most vulnerable. We're certainly doing that here at Christchurch. Thank you for all those who are calling regularly, lots of people, dropping off supplies, making sure that our most vulnerable are the very most cared for. Please keep that up. There's a certain novelty this week. Please keep it going, as I'm sure we all will as the weeks and months go by. And if you are someone who's self-isolating and we don't know about that, or if you're someone who's concerned about someone else, or you're concerned about yourself, you'd like more calls, more prayer, more contact, please just get in touch. We really want to do that. And we want to try and see how we can engage and serve our wider community as well. And in the next couple of days, there'll be those viral kindness cards, which you've seen going around. We'll do some of our own for us to use. We'll try and establish some sort of food bank drop-off point when we're allowed to open the church, as a time for people to come in for a very limited hour and controlled use of the space in terms of social contact, but a few slots in the week to come and pray if you want to wish, and also to drop off any dried food and things. Well, I think a good thing to do would be to grab our Bibles. And if you haven't got one, you've got a few seconds to root amongst the shelves. Do turn up Psalm 46. That's where we're going to go. Some of you will have heard me mention it a few times this week. We're going to turn to Psalm 46. If you're not familiar with that, then use the contents page. That's what I tend to do, right at the front. It's generally about in the middle of the Bible. You'll find there Psalm 46. And I'm going to read Psalm 46. I'll then pray and then just share a couple of thoughts about it. So Psalm 46, about halfway through our Bibles. Let me read. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Well, it's the Lord's word. Let me just pray for the Lord's help as we think about it together now. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you very much that you speak to us at all times and in all places through your word by your spirit. And so we pray now that in this very unique and novel way, you'd help us to have ears to hear what you'd have to say to us. And we pray very much that you'd meet us where we are and lift our eyes to the Lord Jesus and still our hearts in confidence in him. And we pray in his name. Amen. Well, I wonder how we're all feeling in this very unsettling time. I hear from lots of you throughout the week, there's all sorts of emotions, of course. Whether we're normally a laid-back character or normally an anxious character, to a greater or lesser extent, there is understandably a sense of fear amongst all of us and all around the country and around the world, whether it's a fear of catching coronavirus, whether it's a fear of losing loved ones to the virus, whether it's a fear of the loss of income and livelihood and lifestyle and freedom that certainly lots of us are feeling right now. There is an understandable undercurrent of fear. Well, wonderfully, it is for the fearful that God himself doesn't give us a panic button to press, but a song to sing. We haven't got the tune, but we've got the words. That's where the substance lies. When the reformer Martin Luther, whenever he was overwhelmed by the opposition and trouble of church and state during the Reformation, he would say to his colleague, come now, Philip, let us take the 46th. And no matter what they were facing, they would read Psalm 46. And when they felt overwhelmed with fear, they would draw on the words that promise the Lord's strength. And there's just two simple truths I hope we'll be able to take from it and hold on to this week. That we do not fear, but instead trust in God's presence and the fact of God's rescue. Trust in God's presence and the fact of his rescue. Let's just see about his presence. The song opens, doesn't it, with this bold statement of certainty. And it comes because the psalmist sings and speaks of this safety and security that they know is only found in trusting God's presence. Did you notice as I read, the psalm repeats that God is with us, the Lord Almighty is with us, God is near. And that is the confident claim of a Christian then and a Christian now. Did you see that the trouble that's described in the scene, the picture that's painted? Of course, it's a song, it's poetry, but we've got the earth giving way, mountains collapsing into roaring oceans. Picture the Alps and the Andes just being swept by the Atlantic. The point is that they're picturing everything that is immovable normally. The firmest foundations, things that do not budge, things that can be counted on when all else fails, are now crumbling into chaos. And yet, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. You see, the point is that these words they aren't the fragile confidence of someone who's closed their eyes to reality and is simply saying to themselves weakly, I must not fear, I must not fear. No, this is a bedrock confidence of someone who sees the reality, sees the trouble, but knows God is stronger and near, and so can say, I do not fear. And that is why the song changes, doesn't it, from a scene of utter chaos to this calm city. There in verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. The city of God in this psalm here describes God's church, his people, who in the psalmist time were under all sorts of constant threat from the surrounding nations. And the assurance here is that they are made safe, not through the strength of their soldiers and not for us through the strength of our healthcare or political response to trouble, but described here as a city made safe through the strength of, verse 5, the God who's there. He's within the city's walls, so she will not fall. The promise is there's a city, again, poetically put, but a city where anybody who comes inside its gates for refuge, to be with the Lord, there they find this picture of a life-supporting river. The great confidence in this earth-melting power of God's voice. See, we need not fear when living in the refuge and presence and strength of God's presence. I wonder if you remember Disney's The Jungle Book, or maybe Rudyard Kipling's Jungle Book, depending how far back we have to cast our minds. And we know little Mowgli, the man cub, and all the troubles he finds himself in the jungle as he tries to go and find his people on the outskirts. And throughout the film and the adventure and the book, of course, there's all sorts of trouble. But what are the one moment or the several moments where Mowgli, we know, is most safe? Where we do not fear that Mowgli's going to get caught by Shere Khan or caught up in the serpent's coils? Well, it's whenever Bagheera is there. Whenever Bagheera is walking alongside Mowgli, he doesn't fear, and nor do we. See, Bagheera's presence gives a real assurance of this sense of refuge, of strength, and ever-present help. And yet, wouldn't it be strange if at a time like this, we weren't ourselves asking, is this true? Is this true of a Christian? It sounds wonderful. It sounds nice. But doesn't it currently feel a bit more like, not self-isolation, divine isolation? Where are you in all this? We're all affected by the current pandemic, aren't we? As we stare at our screens on a Sunday morning. And we're not promised as Christians any protection from the virus, nor its negative impact in all sorts of ways that we're already feeling and no doubt fearing will worsen. We need to be realistic about our troubles, as it seems increasingly the government is trying to be. It's very likely some of us will be touched by the pain of sadness and loss from this virus in our church family and perhaps within our extended family and friends. Can you and I really sing with the psalmist, we will not fear because God is near? Well, I'd say we only can when our trust, like the psalmist's, the trust in God's presence is based on the fact of his rescue. Without that, it's vain hope, it's fingers crossed. But if God is a rescuer, then there's something to listen to and a confidence to be placed in. Look at verse 8. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth, breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, exalted in the earth. And so the psalmist ends, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Verse 8, come and see. It's an invitation. Come and see what the Lord does when he acts decisively against all evil and suffering and trouble, as it puts it here. It's an invitation to see God wins. It's an invitation to listen. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. This invitation is for the world to stop, to listen up and look upon the Lord and lay down their arms. You see, the psalmist, as I said, knew that the threat of war for God's people then, and utterly confident in his rescue, sang about it. But we know a bigger threat and a greater rescue. Not corona and its vaccine, as important as we pray that will be and will come. No, we know the threat of sin and the rescue of a saviour. See, Jesus, he is the final verse of this song, so to speak, isn't he? He is why the whole Bible invites us to come and see him and what he does on the earth. Just think back. Maybe you're a Christmas and Easter type of Christian. Think back to Christmas. His birth was announced with the words, "Do not fear." He's announced as being God with us. We're told he will save his people from their sins. Jesus grows, and as he preaches and proclaims the kingdom, promises, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. And then as he hangs on the cross, he suffered divine isolation from God because of your sin and mine, that anybody who comes and takes refuge in him, who seeks his forgiveness, would know his life-giving presence, would know the strength of the one who walks through the grave, rises again, and offers life in his name for all who come to him. And then as Jesus stood amongst his fearful friends, first words, do not be afraid. And he sends them out into the world to speak of him and says, I am with you always. And as the Bible has him walking across its pages, on its last pages, the picture of a city coming down from heaven. And who's there? God himself, Christ in the center, and all around him, those who've sought refuge and know the life in his name and the river that supplies it. See, friends, do not fear, God says. Instead, trust in his presence because of the fact of his rescue. See, corona might well, and indeed I'm sure will, take a Christian. But nothing can take a Christian from Christ. Well, in this psalm, that the mountains that depict this security, as we know, are being washed away. Our mountains, they're being washed away too. The sort of pillars of the earth, as we understand the structures of society and culture, things that we've placed such certainty in as just being very much here each and every day, are now so uncertain, aren't they? Over the last few weeks, and especially the last few days, haven't we seen our healthcare, our education, our economies, our leisure, our loved ones, our freedom to do what we want and go where we will, our access to food, our right to travel? Surely not for a generation or two have any of the things that you and I simply take for granted, have they ever looked so uncertain? They're gone. Has anything before ever just wiped your diary so clear and so clean so quickly? And so it would be very strange if we didn't, me included, share some fear. And yet we're to take the 46th. To know Christ is to trust the God who is stronger, who walks with us like Bagheera walks with Mowgli. He is ever present. And as we doubt and as we fear, he says, come and see. And we see him on the cross and risen again and know we can trust him. Well, as I finish and before we pray, just two things to think about, two questions, if you like. Maybe chat about them at home if you're there with somebody, or encourage someone as we make phone calls this week or in our online midweek groups. And then just one question, perhaps if you're not yet sure about who this God is, one question for you at the end. Two questions. First, God says, do not fear. What do you and I need to remember more about who God is and what he's like that we could take that seriously and obey? What do we need to know more about God and what he's like that we would not fear? Secondly, just thinking about how I've been this week, how might we use this enforced social isolation? How might we use the time to grow in our confidence in this ever-present Lord? How might we use the time for us to grow, to encourage others to grow, that he, in the confidence that he is near? And finally, maybe, just maybe, you're someone who's seeing that everything you'd assumed was certain now isn't. It's anything but. Are you being invited to come and see, to be still and know who is really God, to look again at Jesus? Perhaps before you were certain he was irrelevant. Do you need to look again? Do you need to look at him? If that's you, we'll be here every Sunday morning. There's also all sorts of books and videos. Do get in touch, websites and things. We'd love to help you think about that. And indeed, if you're from a little further away, can recommend a church which knows Jesus, loves Jesus, takes him at his word, and will encourage you to come and see him too. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Well, it's that God who comes to us in the Lord Jesus Christ and invites us to come to him in prayer. So I'm going to lead some prayers now. Of course, it'll feel a bit peculiar through a screen, but I've just got some notes here. So I'll pray along. And if you'd like to pray at home, then please do join me. We'll end the prayers, by the way, with the Lord's Prayer, which perhaps we can say together. Well, loving Father, we thank you for Psalm 46, a song to sing for the fearful. We thank you that it reminds us of who you are and what you're like. We're thankful that you speak to us in the highs and lows, the troubles and trials and tribulations and successes and joys of all our lives. You have a word to say and give us your words to say in the midst of it. We thank you for your word and pray you'd help it to sink in this week. We take you at your word, and that we wouldn't fear and that we trust you. Father, we do pray for your mercy with this virus. We pray very much that it would stop. And all the while, we pray for the governments and medical teams all over the world, and particularly in Britain, that you give them the wisdom to control it. We thank you very much for the many medical teams, our NHS, those being called out of retirement, those having to humble themselves from more senior positions to simply man the front line. Father, we pray you would bring much healing. Please sustain those who are bringing the care. Please get them the food and supplies, as so often after a shift they find the cupboards of the supermarkets bare. Father, we pray for their protection and ours. But above all, through it all, as the virus takes hold, we do pray for a maintained confidence in your promises. You haven't promised we wouldn't get ill, we wouldn't become ill, but you've promised to save us from a far worse virus. We pray you'd help us to trust that and know that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Father, thinking about this morning, we do thank you for technology. Again, we take it for granted. We thank you that this enables us to meet in this small way. We help pray and ask that through it, you would help us to remain prayerful for each other, to also remain practically helpful for each other, especially the most vulnerable in our church family. And we thank and praise you for the many acts of kindness and generosity which are going on within the church family, within Crouch End, and of course, all over the place. We pray that it would encourage us all to keep going, to patiently endure, to keep trusting, and to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus, grateful for his people and eagerly anticipating when we may be together again in person, face to face, in our church building. Father, thinking of our church family, we do pray that at this important time, having recently integrated services, that you would unite us through this and not divide. Pray very much as we strip everything right back and we simply focus on your voice, your word, and our prayers to you. We pray that you'd strengthen us. We pray that not one of us would not be regrouping whenever we can next meet. We pray for warm fellowship, a deeper love for you, and a deeper love for each other. Father, we do this Mothering Sunday pray very much, thanking you for our families. We pray you'd minister and meet those for whom Mothering Sunday might be a more painful time. Pray they'd seek comfort and peace of knowing you as the greatest of parents, if there's some scars there. We thank and praise you for those of us who will speak warmly of our mothers. And we pray very much aware of those mothers who would be eagerly anticipating seeing grandchildren and children on a day like today. Please, would they know your comfort, your peace? Would they not be too sad? Would they know the joy of your presence when other loved ones can't be near? Finally, Father, we do pray for our local community, indeed our nation and our world. We pray that through this, as the mountains, the things that we place all our confidence and security in, as they are shaken to the core, indeed many of them are crumbling, we pray that many would be still and know that you are God. Would anything that we or anybody else has placed our confidence in, would it be firmly placed on you, the one who is eternal and offers eternal life in your presence, sustained by your word? And so, Father, we draw all our prayers together by praying as Jesus himself taught us to pray. And so we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Normally, of course, on a Sunday, we'd respond in singing. Normally, we'd get all the children from our groups and we'd all be gathering in church, eating lots of cake. In fact, one of our children this morning said, What do you mean it's church? There's no cake anywhere. That was their fear. But it would be lovely to respond in some way, knowing we're doing that together. So again, Ben's very kindly put at the bottom of the description on the website two songs, which I think would just encourage us all. There's a newer one that we've been learning together, and there's an older one, which I'm sure many of us will know well. Even if you're not a regular at Christchurch or any church, you might know it. But I suggest and encourage us all to listen to those now. The links will be there. Just click on them or put them in your YouTube browser, whatever it is you do, and we can enjoy listening to those and feeding on truths for our souls. Just one other thing to mention is do keep watching here, as we'll try and encourage families too with various links to family resources, sort of 10-minute videos and things which slightly larger churches are managing to hopefully put together and encourage the wider church with. So do keep an eye on the various websites that are going around, and on this website we'll start recommending where to point you. But in the meantime, Lord willing, I'll be here next Sunday, and I very much hope you can join us as well. And keep praying for each other, Christchurch. Keep meeting one another's needs. I guess that need will escalate. Keep using all the social media and resources we've been given to lovingly meet one another and all being well. See you next week. Bye for now.